The reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 to 19. This can be found on page 3 of the Church Bibles. Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. This is the word of the Lord.
We're thinking about time today, and I just wanted to start by giving you a good example of a bad use of time. So enjoy this particular moment while I fiddle. Okay, should be there. Yes. Sun, moon, and stars. God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky." We've heard that he created the vault, that he created the heavens and the earth. And I was reading some really interesting commentaries that said, if you look at this logically, it's quite tricky that the sun hasn't appeared yet and there are plants. And this person's conclusion was to say, but God could make all those waves of light appear from somewhere, even if the sun wasn't there. I thought that was quite clever, really. But we're looking today at day 4, when God created days, seasons, and years. So he made these lights. The first one goes the other way. I'm doing really well on technology this morning. The first one was the sun. And the sun, in case you hadn't noticed, rises on one side, appears to go over us during the day, and sets on the other. And by that, we know that a day has passed. And the sun also appears to move according to the season where it is in the sky. So I don't know whether you've noticed that at this time of year, at sort of midday, it's really quite high in the sky and the light is really bright. But in the middle of winter, the sun still stays quite low in the sky and there's a different quality to the light. I really love it when spring comes and everything suddenly gets brighter because we're getting the sun higher up. So the sun marks the days and the seasons. And in a year, because of those seasons, the sun helps us to know when we've gone through a whole year. So the sun's quite useful for marking out time. And the moon is also quite useful. If you're up late at night, or sometimes just late in the afternoon, or sometimes even in the morning, you can see the moon and you can see different bits of it depending on where we are in the lunar month. Every 4 weeks, it goes through this cycle. I have a great memory of when I was teaching, when I first started teaching, age 21, and I had a class full of 7-year-old boys, many of whom are now married and have their own children, which is really rather worrying. But I had this class of 7-year-old boys, and I was trying to explain to them the phases of the moon. And I got in such a mess. Untrue. Have you seen that Jaffa Cakes advert with the teacher eating the Jaffa Cakes? I would have done better if I'd just gone with that. But the point is that through the month, the moon changes shape. And in the days before we had calendars, people would have been able to tell the passage of time from the moon. And we also have stars. Now, I put into Google navigating by the stars, and it gave me this star map, which you can't really see. But for years and years, people, particularly when they're out at sea, if they wanted to know that they were going in the right direction, they would look up at the sky and they would see the stars and they would judge where they were by what the time was and where the stars were. It helped them to know their place in the universe. So what does all this tell us about God? Well, I think it tells us that our God, who created our world, is completely reliable. Every day the sun comes up, every night the moon is somewhere in the sky, whether we can see it through the clouds or not, and the stars will always stay in the same places relative to things so that people know where they are. There's a promise in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 8, after the flood, when God promised that he wasn't going to flood the earth ever again, he said, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Now our lives might go up and down, different things happen. I have a tree outside my study at home, and I love doing morning prayer, sitting in my study, looking at that tree. And there's a bit where you pause as you think about the day and the world. And every time when I pause and I look at that tree, it reminds me that the world is still turning. Even if sometimes it feels to me like it might have stopped or something's happening that's completely filling my mind, I look at my tree and I see the seasons. And I remember that fortunately, the passage of time is not up to me. God has promised that these things will continue. Now, there are two different words in the Bible for time. The first one is chronos. And chronos is measurable time. And through the centuries, people have measured time. I wonder if any of the children know where this is or what it is. Yes, what is it? It's Stonehenge. Thousands of years ago, people lugged these whopping great stones and put them in this odd circle, and they lined it up with the sun so that at certain times of the year, the sun would fall on a particular stone and they would know where they were in their year with time. In those times, the people living there didn't know about God as we do, and they probably worshipped the sun as well, which was quite a logical thing to do if you thought that was the source of all life. But they set up their stones like this, and they measured time. I got quite intrigued, really, and I started looking about time as the fourth dimension. And my mind got very slightly blown. But there were some interesting comments from Einstein and all sorts of clever people about the fact that time cannot be observed as a thing in its own right. Somebody said, in all likelihood, it's merely a human notion, albeit a very useful notion. There's no evidence that time exists outside the confines of the human mind. So other animals don't have an idea of time in quite the same way. When we measure time, we're actually counting events, such as the tick of a clock or the beat of a heart. The events are real enough, but the interval of time we measure is best thought of as an imaginary interval between events. Anybody still with me? Sort of. So over the centuries, people have measured this time in different ways. They went from lugging great big stones around to thinking, this is a bit inconvenient. We can't all have Stonehenge in our back garden. Why don't we invent something smaller? And they thought of the sundial. And then they moved on from that. And they thought it would be good to have something that's portable. You can't take a sundial on a ship or something. Why not? Can we hold time in some way. And someone thought of a sand timer, an hourglass, where you could turn it over when you want the time to start. My mother, just before I started training for the ministry, gave me an hourglass that lasts about 6 minutes and said, there you go, that's for your sermons. I haven't brought it with me. So we measure time in the passage of the sand. Then we've gone on to be much cleverer and we've got watches and clocks. Those are, in fact, clocks that you hang on your wall. I think you can get them on Amazon or eBay. Some people want to see how quickly they can do things. So we've invented a stopwatch where it looks like you can stop and start time and measure just the bit you're interested in. It's digital. Now, I wonder if anybody knows what this is. Anybody know what that is? It is a cesium fountain atomic clock. This clock was made, it became operational. Let me just read it, what I've written down, it's easier. The new cesium fountain atomic clock, NPL-CSF3, became operational in 2015, allowing continuous operation of a primary clock at the National Physics Laboratory. Work continues on the next generation of optical atomic clocks at NPL, which should achieve accuracies equivalent to losing or gaining 1 second in the age of the universe. We have become obsessed with measuring our time that precisely that you can have a clock that never goes slow and never goes fast. What does that tell us about God? Well, however we measure time, it says in the Psalms, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. This is the psalmist talking to God, saying, every day in my life, you knew about before I was even born. However we measure it, it's in God's hands. In fact, in Psalm 31, that's what he said. My times are in your hands. So God knows all about us and our lives, and he holds all of that in his hands. And we also know, and perhaps this is the most important thing of today, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No matter how our time changes, Jesus is always the same. He's always interested in us. He always wants us to make the most of the time we have. So that's Chronos. There's another kind of time that's mentioned in the Bible, and that's called kairos. It's the right time, the critical time, the opportune moment. Now, we asked you as you were coming in for some of your star moments of this year. And I wonder what you put on the board. I'm going to ask Karen, what sort of things have we got on the board, Karen?
There's an amazing mix of things. There's things like paragliding at Scoutabout or abseiling, helping Syrian women learn English. Somebody got a medal. My mum's 90th is up there. Camping. That wasn't me. A hole in one. Promotion. Tickets for last night at the proms. Seeing a seal. Arsenal winning the FA Cup is up quite a few times, but I'm only reading it once. And other football teams are available. Holiday Club is up there as well. And Holiday with Friends and Seeing the Milky Way, which sounds amazing. So there's lots of different things, big and small.
Thank you, Karen. So all of those things, we didn't say to you, which was the best minute of this year? Tell me what date it was, what time it was, what the hour was, which particular second did you most enjoy? We said to you, what's your star moment? What's a moment in your life, in your year, where something wonderful and significant has happened? Those are our kairos moments. They're not things that we need to measure with atomic clocks or anything else. They are just the right time. I did some pictures of moments that might count for some people as those. I look for birth, and I thought, you don't want to see a lot of the pictures that you get. So then I look for newborn, and I thought, we'll go for a newborn baby. That's lovely, the moment when life comes into the world. I did a wedding here yesterday. That moment when people commit to each other their lives, all that they have and all that they are, that's a really special Kairos moment. And there are other moments which perhaps are special moments. They're not so comfortable. They're not things that we necessarily enjoy. And I know for some people this is painful. So when we say goodbye to people at the end of their lives, when we have funerals and things like that, these are all special moments. They're significant moments in our lives. And in Ecclesiastes, the writer said this: there's a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. And he has made everything beautiful in its time. And I think one of my favorite verses from the Old Testament, we thought about the story of Esther earlier on this year. And there's a moment where Esther is challenged. And she's challenged with these words: perhaps you are here for such a time as this. There was something that needed to be done. There was a conversation that only Esther could have with the king, with her husband. And maybe her whole life was there just for that moment. So what does that tell us about God and about us? Well, it tells that God doesn't just make us to be people who go through our lives from one moment to the next, doing the same things, eating, drinking, sleeping, working, having fun, eating, sleeping, drinking, working, having fun. God has created us for a purpose, each one of us, and at different times and in different ways, we might discover what that purpose is. I had a favorite poem when I was very little by Thomas Hood, and I looked him up again recently. And he said this, it was I Remember, I Remember. Does anybody else remember, I Remember, I Remember? Yeah? I think I had to learn it at school. I remember the house where I was born, the little window where the sun came creeping in at morn. It never came a wink too soon nor brought too long a day, but now I often wish the night had borne my breath away. And I looked up his biography because I thought, I wonder why. When I actually reread it, it's quite a sad poem. He's looking back to happy times and thinking, I wish it was different now. And it turns out that he was quite ill. He became ill as an adult and he died quite young. And he was looking back, but in his memory were those special Kairos moments, those things that he had really enjoyed. I think God wants us to remember and to enjoy good times. In James, it says, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. So he's saying you can make lots of plans, but your time is in God's hands. You need to remember that. And Jesus in Matthew reminded us that spending our time worrying is not a great way to use the moments that he's given us. He said, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? When we worry, we actually shorten our lives because we're taking away time that we could be using on something else, and we're probably making ourselves more stressed. And in Ephesians 5, it says, be careful then how you live, making the most of every opportunity, not as unwise, but as wise. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So Kairos and Kronos, God's created the universe and the way of measuring time, but he's created us to have special moments where we do what he's called us to. This week, we're going to give you another of our takeaway cards, things to think about, God's wonderful world and his fingerprints today. And for the adults, the challenges are to think about how we actually use our time, how much time we spend each week on things that bring us life, things that make us joyful and happy and that help other people? How much of our time is spent on things we don't particularly enjoy and that are quite drudgery-ish? God doesn't want us to be weighed down. He wants to give us life. To have a look at Ecclesiastes 3, that bit about the time for different things. And to have a challenge of thinking, if someone gave you an extra hour each day that you could do whatever you liked with, what would you do with that hour? That would be different for different people at different times. But that's the challenge for adults. And then a little further question for them. Children, there are lots of questions that you might have to go back to the Bible to look up the answers for. Did you know there was time travel in the Bible? There is time travel in the Bible. My thing with the sundial, where the sun goes a particular way around, there is a story in the Bible where that doesn't happen in the way you might expect. And it doesn't involve Doctor Who. There's a question about whether God experiences time in the same way as we do. And the same question for you. If you could have an hour in the day doing whatever you like, what would it be? So some things to think about, and a final challenge, which is for everyone. Is there some way this week that you could give an hour of your time to somebody else? Is there a way that you could give an hour, maybe a little bit less if you haven't got that long an attention span, to somebody else? Because the time you have is a gift from God. And we know that he loves us to give the good things that he's given us. There we go. I've taught for a long time and you have listened really well. And now Imogen is going to come and explain how we're going to pray this morning together.